I have had a question submitted concerning the Holy Spirit. What is the biblical definition of the Spirit? What is the Holy Spirit, and how do I get it? And I want to give a biblical definition of the Spirit. Because we see Spirit everywhere, you know, the Holy Spirit, man's spirit, and what exactly are we talking about? Difference between spirit and soul. That would have been a good question, too. But how do we explain the Holy Spirit? Now, you're listening to the deep things of God, and we're going to dig deep. Even though this should not be that difficult for a Christian to understand this. But it is because of the apostasy we've been in and the confusion that we've been taught all of our lives. I want to read from 1 John chapter 5. And let me just start reading at verse 4. Now remember, we're talking about the Spirit and the Holy Spirit. But what's a biblical definition of the Spirit? 1 John 5:4, for whatsoever is whosoever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. Who is he that overcomes the world, if not he that believes Jesus is the Son of God? This is he that came, now the way the King James wrote this, by water and blood. But it could be translated because of water and blood. Jesus Christ. Now the next part is not by water only. That word by is in. Not in water only, but in the water and the blood. And it is the Spirit that bears witness, because the Spirit is truth. Now, I used to read that, and that was, to me, a definition of Spirit. And I would think of Holy Spirit. It's the truth. But when you read this verse, he is talking about water and blood. And there's three that bear witness: the Spirit, the water, and the blood. These three agree in one, he says in verse 8. So what are we speaking of? What is happening in this verse? Water and blood. Well, water and blood are symbols. Water is a symbol of understanding. Blood is a symbol of the soul. And I want to give you an explanation. Let's just lay this out and make it as simple as we can. You're born into this world, and you are given understanding. It's coming from every angle. You have to understand things in your life that your parents are teaching you, siblings, the school, grandparents, neighbors. You have all of this water being given to you. And some of this water that you're receiving might cause you to act a certain way where you become offensive. You offend somebody. Hence, the water you've been given is creating guilt, because you're moving out in your belief system, acting on what you've been told, or rebelling against it. You also are having things done to you. And you're believing things about why it happened, or why would they say that? Why did they do that? And you can't let it go. You can't forgive the people for hurting you. What's happening? Your water, your understanding is creating in you your soul. Your soul is the record of who you are. That's why blood is a symbol of it. In Leviticus 17, we can look at a person's blood and see everything they've eaten. You know, if you look at this spiritually, what you're eating spiritually is recorded in your soul. It's what you're retaining. It's what you can't forgive. You can't let go of the guilt. You can't say it's retained in you. So I have water, understanding, I have blood, and the resulting spirit is the truth. You have a way of being based on what you've been told and the record of who you are. Your spirit will manifest your water and your blood. And you can't get around it. You can't get out of it. This is who you are. The spirit is the truth. We could say the resulting spirit is the truth. Now let me read some text. The first one is in Zechariah 12:1. The burden of the word of Jehovah for Israel, saith Jehovah, which stretches forth the heavens, lays the foundation of the earth, and forms the spirit of man within him. Your heavens and earth are levels of understanding. The heavens are what you think God thinks. The earth is your own makeup. It's your own doing. Earth is self. The sea is the world. But the sea is left out of this. He stretches forth the heavens and lays the foundation of the earth and forms the spirit of man within him. Now what we want to do is compare that to Isaiah 65. And in Isaiah chapter 65, let me read this, verse 17. For behold, I create a new heaven and new earth. The former shall not be remembered nor come into mind. But be ye glad and rejoice forever in that which I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem, a rejoicing, and her people a joy. I will rejoice in Jerusalem and joy in my people. Well, this is New Jerusalem. He's not talking about creating Old Jerusalem. This is New Jerusalem. What are we reading? Well, when he stretches forth the heavens, or God's understanding, and lays the foundation of the earth, that happened when you were told, or when you were given, the law of God. You become a Christian, and you're told the law. Well, the law stretches your understanding about God. You're not going to read the law and have a new foundation for yourself. And you're going to walk away reading the law saying, well, God, depending on how you've interpreted it. See, God wants me to keep the Ten Commandments. God wants me to go to church on Saturday. God doesn't want me to have pictures in my house. You know, just all of the things that you have derived from the law, you think this is God's understanding. Well, he comes back and says, well, I got to give you a new heaven and a new earth. We've got to change what you think God thinks. We're going to change the way you think, and the result is going to be Jerusalem, or New Jerusalem. Now turn back to Revelation chapter 21, verse 1, I saw a new heaven and new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. So he gives you a new understanding of how he thinks, and a new you, and no more sea. What you've been told from the world is going to go away, because you're possessing the truth now. I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them. Why is this significant? Because in Zechariah 12, he's creating or giving you, stretching forth the heavens and laying the foundation of the earth. But in Isaiah 65, when he gives you a new heaven and a new earth, he is creating New Jerusalem. New Jerusalem, think about it, is a city. And if you'll look in Galatians chapter 4, verse 26, Jerusalem, which is above, that's New Jerusalem, is free, which is the mother of us all. New Jerusalem is the mother of us all. Now, we can tie this in to what we've been reading in Revelation 17. Because in Revelation 17, you have a whore sitting upon water. The whore is the great city, Babylon. The woman is that city. A city, in Proverbs 25, is a spirit. Proverbs 25:28. So here, let's just make a chain. A woman is a symbol of a city. A city is a symbol of a spirit. And at the end of the world, you've got the woman and the city of Babylon. You've got the woman of the Holy Spirit. Or the woman of New Jerusalem. Why would I say the Holy Spirit? Because in Zechariah 12:1, the heavens and earth produce the Spirit. In Isaiah 65, I've got a new heaven and a new earth. It produces a Spirit called New Jerusalem. A city. The mother of us all. If it's a mother, it's a woman. At the end of the world, Babylon and New Jerusalem, both are women. And the woman represents your emotional side. The Holy Spirit is the emotional side of God. Your spirit is your emotional side. I've got water, blood produces your emotional side, your spirit. Your emotional side is how you see yourself and how you see others. Hence, that is God's spirit. How God sees himself and how God sees you. His spirit is how he perceives himself and you. Your spirit is how you perceive yourself and others. So I have water and blood. I have water being taught to you all of your life. The result is the record of who you are, your guilt and shame and anger and bitterness and whatever. The resulting spirit of how you see yourself and how you see others is the truth of your water and blood. If somebody has hurt you and you're carrying the wounds of this life, how you see them is based on your water and blood. hence your spirit. When you're in their presence, you're going to act a certain way, think a certain way, talk a certain way. It's your spirit. It's how you perceive them and how you perceive yourself. You may be telling yourself, you know, I didn't deserve that. I didn't deserve for you to talk to me like that. That's your spirit. That's your emotional side. And it's based on your understanding and the result of that understanding, your soul. These three, water, blood, and spirit, are one. You can't deny the spirit you have because it's based on your water and blood. However it is you're reacting to people, if you have had a hard time in your life with your parents and you've grown up with them hurting you and you're carrying wounds from, say, your father, then your spirit, your actions toward men will be different from somebody who hasn't been hurt like you. Because you're acting on what has happened. And the idea of the cross is to remove that water and blood, give you a clean slate, and allow you to find forgiveness for yourself and forgiveness for others, which will, in turn, produce a new spirit in you. And if you're taking God's understanding and God's ways and letting Him heal you, you will manifest the Holy Spirit.